Welcome everybody to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon at Future No Dad 24.
This your boy Sam at More Life One.
Let's get it. Put it up. Yo, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Listen Up Podcast. It's your boy Brandon.
This is your boy Sam.
Yo, man, we back again, man. This episode, what, 113? Man, we've been doing this for a little minute now. When I think about it, man, we skipped over 100 and just kept moving, man. I think we stopped keeping track, man. We just started going, man. But we back at it, man. Sam, what's going on with you?
Not a whole lot. Working, trying to do some transitioning, and you know me, I'm always trying to stay busy.
Nah, I feel you on that one. Same, work. that seemed to be the adult life, man. I'm tired of working and fighting with folks you don't need to be fighting with.
True that.
Yeah. So, what's going on?
This actually should be a pretty quick show today. We got some pretty good stuff set up. We got a big what if later on in the show. We're gonna start that segment.
Yeah, definitely
got Travis Hunter.
Yeah. I mean, listen, man, we'll dive into it, but the boy seems to be a human highlight film. But we'll definitely dive into it a little more. We got Brian Kelly. I mean, he upset some folks, I think, earlier in the week or whatever, about some comments about slingshots and whatnot. And then we'll also talk about a little bit of dive into a little bit of recruiting, man. You know, summertime is all really about recruiting. Ain't much going on. Right. When it comes to you know, playing the field and stuff like that. So we're gonna dive right into it, man. I guess let's start with the most recent, not really the most recent, but what happened earlier in the week, man. Looks like Brian Kelly came out and basically said, I don't need cars and slingshots and all sorts of stuff to get recruits. I bring them on campus, show them what our team about, and he commits. A lot of people felt like he was wrong and disrespectful for saying that. He took a lot of, you know, I mean, I don't care. I'm sure he don't care, but he took a lot of hits over the that day. Unfortunately, I actually agree with Brian Kelly on that. We talked about it on the last episode. We didn't need all that. Like, at Florida State, I don't think you need all these gimmicks and other things in order to get a recruit. And, again, I think you got to cater your recruiting style to the person. And not just, all right, if I bring the slingshot can't be for everybody because everybody don't care about slingshots or cars or bounce houses or whatever it is. Like, I think you said last time, what's his name? May have wanted to go to the fishing hole. He may have wanted to go, you know what I mean? He wanted to do something else. He cared about the academics more. You know what I mean? Right. Like, you don't really know, but you can't, like, I don't think, cater your approach to gimmicks because everybody's not necessarily fooled by it. So when Brian Kelly said it, I was like, it sounded to me like, maybe he understood this kid a little bit more than Florida State understood this kid. You may have had to have Kane come in separately. I don't need you on a gimmick day. We need you to come in, you know, on a Wednesday or whatever, when everything kind of chill or whatever. You can have your own private. We let you see some facilities. You talk to the coach. You know what I mean? Like, just make it a little bit more private or whatever, because it seems like that's kind of what Brian Kelly did.
Yeah. I think I mean, you shot your shot. You got him on campus. I think the more concerning thing about the whole recruiting approach would be we are getting people on campus. We're not seeing them commit yet.
Yep.
That does kind of bother me because the hype is not matching the actual results. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, and that's really what scared me, to be honest with you. And I don't want to say, because it's too early to be alarmed, and you know, we still got a long way to go. But when I look at it and I say, we've had three really huge recruiting weekends. We had the spring game where we were the only one who invited players to it. We had over 100 kids. I think we netted to zero on that one. I think we lost two and gained two. Mm-hmm. So that was a net zero.
Right.
We had the mega camp we didn't get anything out of. And then we had Midnight Madness, and we didn't get a single recruit out of it. And so, I mean, I'm hearing people talk about silent commitments and crystal balls and all sorts of stuff. But my thing is, where are the actual players? You know what I mean? Where are the actual people who are saying, oh, man, this weekend was great. I can't believe it, blah, blah, blah. And now I'm committing. I'm right. Shutting it down. I don't see enough. Because I would think if you do something that grand, you want something to return. You want return on your investment, in other words. You know what right. I mean? If I'm and, right. and I'm talking, and most people want immediate dividends. You know what I'm right. saying? Like, in my opinion, I don't think it's just enough to say, all right, well, he might commit later on. Mm-hmm. Because then my question would be, well, what kept him from committing then? You know what I mean? What like, I just gave you everything. In other words, I propose, right? I brought your family down. I done did everything. I propose. I don't want a commitment next week. Well, I ain't really sure if I want to marry you just yet, but give me some time to think about it.
Right.
I'm like, well, damn, I just did this, you know, I just did this huge gesture or whatever to make you, you know, to propose. And at the end of the day, you told me you got to think about it. Mm-hmm. I'm just not sure how that, I'm not sure really how it looks. And I'm not sure it's, again, I've been saying it. I don't know if it's necessary. I thought the best thing that they've done in the last few years was when they were going to host practices down in IMG.
Right.
That was about the only, I mean, because that was actually, you know what I mean? IMG is a factory. They got good players, good coaches, stuff like that. You can maybe, you know, get a couple players from out of there.
Who hosts the players down there?
Willie.
Oh. Well, yeah. And people call that a disaster too.
It was a disaster because they say it was poorly, like it was just unorganized. But that was the thing they said about Willie the whole time. You know what I mean? All this stuff was unorganized. I think the idea was fine, but the execution usually and most times was lacking with Willie.
Yeah, that's true. It is weird though. That guy was so poorly organized and all the other shit. But for some reason, them kids would commit on campus, which I find weird. I don't know what's going on because there is a side of me that says that all these kids are just taking their time to commit. Yeah. And I understand that, right? You want to get around, see as many coaches as possible, take your time and commit. But then there's like another side of me that's kind of like, you know, if they go around and see other coaches and these other coaches are better recruiters, do they commit to those coaches?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't necessarily know how this is going to work out. I still think because of the class size that we're going to bring in this year and next year, I still think we bring in two top 10 to top 12 classes.
Mm-hmm.
This year we got what? 1, 2, 3. I think 3 difference makers that can play, that's going to be able to play day one, and Duffy, Sam, and
Hunter.
Yeah. So if we could do that again next year, I think that puts us on a path to have a really good season in 24. So that put us on a really nice trajectory.
Here's what
I do worry though, you know, I don't mean to wreck you up, but I do worry that do you get so organized and you start winning 8, 9, 10 games, you get like Mullen. But does the ceiling, do we hit our ceiling as a staff, as a recruiting entity at top 10, top 12, like Mullen has? Like, do we do that? Because, I mean, I guess that's where I'm kind of looking at. Because I don't want to put
Mike in Dan Mullen's category, man. Dan Mullen is a clown, man. Like, is an absolute, like, you saw the video that, I mean, we saw the video that came around or whatever. Like, whoever is advising Dan is poorly advised, Dan. Who's ever just saying okay blindly to the stuff that he does is
right.
It's like it's not doing their job. There's some failures in Florida. Like, we can talk about whatever it is, but there's some failures in that part. That video was creepy. Was creepy and dumb.
But Dan is authentically that though. He's authentically that goofball that.
Yeah, but we talked about it last week. The reason why Chris Marv can't get players is look like because he's very much like Dan Mullen. In the bit of, I mean, these kids ain't really looking at them like, you know what I mean? Like, I think the reason why their recruiting classes are not five to, you know what I mean, are not top five where they should be when Florida's winning games,
right,
is strictly because of Dan Mullen. Like, I think it's 100% on Dan Mullen and his
Packers with Jordan. Well, I don't think Dan Mullen, how to put this, I don't think Dan Mullen, I don't want to say he don't value recruiting. I'm going to say that he doesn't put recruiting at the very top of his list. Right.
I see what you're saying.
There's other things on the top of his list than recruiting, right?
He also thinks he can plug in anybody and be successful.
Right, right, because he's done it, right?
True.
Right.
I can understand why he would feel that way.
Right, but he hasn't done it on a national championship level of doing it, you know, but he's done it as far as, oh, I can win 10 games. I can. He can basically be Mark Richt at your program, right? He can just basically just recruit good enough to get 10 wins. And you literally could never fire him. You would never have reason to fire him. Like, you won't like him. You'll be upset about it, but you won't be able to fire him ever because he's going to win 10 games every year.
It's funny. It's kind of the same thing that's happening with their basketball team and Mike White. You know what I mean? He keep getting to the tournament. Like, nobody thinks he's going to ever win a championship. He ain't never going to be able to recruit high enough. I don't even think he's that good of a coach, but he keep making him to the tournament. And so it's kind of hard to fire a coach who always in the tournament every year.
And I always say that's the worst place to be to me. I'd rather be shitty.
Yeah,
like, I'd rather be like, if a Jaguar fan, I'd rather be 0-13 than to be 7-9 every year.
Yeah,
like, I hate being stuck in mediocrity because you can't get out of that.
Yeah,
like, that coach basically has you in prison. Like, you can't get out of that. You can't fire him, and you're never gonna win anything. That's the worst place in the world to be to me.
And that's what I think football and basketball for them right now is it's kind of like that, because I don't think Dan can ever get him over the top. Like, I think Dan is good for, like you said, consistency. I think they'll play in a New Year's Six Bowl just about every year, if not every other year. They may miss a year, you know, on a transition year or something like that, but they're going to always be good. They can always give you 9-10 wins. The fact
that they're going to go into games, big matchups. I'm talking about big matchups against Georgia, Bama, even A&M coming up, and they're not going to have the best players on the field. They're going to have to scheme around, you know, but other than that, I mean, that's kind of terrible when you have Florida. And that's the same thing at Florida State. And I think we look at Florida State, you got to win some of these big time head to head. You got to win battles that nobody thinks you're going to win. Like, you got to be able to go 100%. Grab, you got to be able to out recruit people for Dalvin Cook. You know what I'm saying? You got to out recruit people for, who did we get? We got Dalvin Cook. People always say the biggest Jimbo signer was LaMarcus Joyner. I will argue that the biggest Jimbo signer was Nigel Bradham.
Why that?
Because he was the first recruit that Jimbo targeted and said, I got to have that guy. You know, right? Like, he was a five-star all-world player, and the program was bad. It was bad when he went and got Nigel. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, but it was bad when he got LaMarcus too, though.
But I'm saying, with Nigel, it was bad. So he got him to commit to a bad, bad program, a program that had no upside. So to me, that's just a dog on a trail doing work. And then once you get Nigel in, you see how that bleeds to that five star, right?
Yeah.
Now it comes full circle when you go grab Greg Reed, right? Then you go grab Joyner and Luke. And it just kind of feeds itself, right? I think that's what we're kind of hoping that Terrence Hunter becomes. Hunter becomes the guy that just feeds into the success of grabbing big time player, because he's not a goof troop, right?
Right. Even
Duffy seemed to me, well, I don't know about Duffy, but Hunter seems to me like a type of guy that he won't dolls around him, and we hope that transitions to success on a trail. Because it doesn't seem, other than like two guys on the staff, maybe three. Mm-hmm. I think one thing you can get his whole staff credit for, Mike Norvell does a great job of evaluating quarterbacks early, getting on quarterbacks early. That was something I thought Willie struggled with.
Yep.
Completely. I thought that was something that
he can get quarterbacks to commit. He is not going to have a problem getting quarterbacks to commit. And I think for whatever reason, he don't have a problem getting quarterbacks to commit.
And that to me is a much, if you got a position that I need you to be able to evaluate and recruit well, the quarterback position is the one you got to be able to hit on, right? I mean, it's basically save Dabo at Clemson, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if he's not going to do nothing, he's going to get a five-star quarterback to commit every 2 years.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So if you can do that, that can create success in recruiting, because at least everybody know with a great quarterback, we got a chance to win on Saturday. You know what I'm saying? So I think that's a great thing.
No,
other than Atkins and Woodson, I think there's a lot that's being left out there. And I do think he needs to reshape some of this, you know, staff and you know, but we'll get into that during the season. But it just doesn't seem like those guys got the, you know, just got the juice, like everybody's calling it.
No, they definitely don't. One of the questions I wanted to ask you was, we heard before that Mike has a don't commit to us until you done taking visits and all that. You know what I mean? Right. And my thing is, I'm wondering, could that be the reason why they haven't gotten more? And also, I mean, does that really work for them? You know what I'm saying? Like, in other words, it's, you know, we've heard, he basically said, listen, commit to me, cool, but you done. You know what I mean? Shut the recruiting down and be committed to me. And that's a real all or nothing approach. I wonder how that has affected these big weekends. You know, in other words, if I got a whole bunch of kids coming in, right, and I got a whole bunch of them, and I got some guys saying, man, listen, you absolutely my favorite, man, I want to commit. And then Mike comes in and says, listen, I appreciate that, and I want you to commit. But understand, commitment means you done recruit. You don't. I want to see you at Texas or at Georgia or at Alabama next week or next month. You committed to us. You got to shut it down. Some players may be like, cool, right?
Yeah.
But there's a whole bunch of other players who like, man, these recruiting weekends fun as hell. I'm going out. You know what I mean? Like, right. I'm going to Oregon. I'm going to Batman. I'm going to Georgia. I don't necessarily care. Like, even if I am committed to you 100%, but I'm not shutting anything down. Right. And so that's what kind of makes me think, like, when I see a lot of hear people talk about silent commitments and hear people talk about, you know, and putting their crystal balls for this player is probably coming to Florida State. I think this guy's coming to Florida State. I wonder how much of that is, I'm just not ready to shut down my recruitment yet. I commit. I really like you, guy, but I just ain't ready to shut down my recruitment yet.
Right. I think I don't have a problem with that process, right? I don't have a problem with you saying shut the recruitment down but before you commit. Because I think you want all your guys in. I think you want to know exactly what you got. I don't have a problem with that, personally.
Okay.
I do think that if you got to have, as long as he got drop dates and drop times, like, hey,
okay,
by August, I need to know by August.
Right. Before we get into the season for real, and I got to focus on coaching, and recruiting kind of falls to the you know, second, third spot. I need to know something. Yeah.
Right. So I think that's a big deal. But something I did want to say. I think the one difference between Mike Norvell and Dan Mullen, I think Mike Norvell values recruiting way more than Dan Mullen does. I just want to say that. I don't want people to be like, but Mike cares about recruiting. Yeah, he cares about it way more than Dan Mullen. I don't think Dan Mullen even wants to show up to half those damn events. He damn sure don't dress for him. But
dude, they had a baby shower set up for the last recruiting event.
Yeah.
It says we don't care. That was a baby. That looked like a baby shower. It was real tacky. Like the rest of the things that recruiting is not a priority over there. It's not. In other words, we're gonna let the brand be the brand, and we're gonna, you know, I guess we're required to do some things. We may have some, you know, money tied up to us showing up to certain places, but I agree with you. Yeah. I think he knows, you know, I'll get some guys, I'll plug in a quarterback and he'll be good. I'll give me a quick guy who I can, you know, get the ball out in space to, and he'll do some things. And right now they got three big time running backs, which is the first time I think Dan has ever had, you know, a run game. So I'm interested to see kind of how he handles that piece of it, because I've always known Dan to be just, you know, spread it out and throw it. So I'm interested in seeing how he handles having, you know, actual running back, because he ain't had I don't think, in my opinion, a good back that he utilized ever. So, you know, I look at it. I just think recruiting is very important for Mike Norvell, and I think he understands that and he knows that. Also, they're in different positions.
Right.
I think Mike has no choice but to make recruiting his number one priority. You have a team that doesn't have any talent. When you have a team with no talent, recruiting better be the most important thing in your space right now. Because if it's not, you're in bad shape. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, and I think he knows he needs that to keep his job. And two, I think to get to a place where, you know, Florida State can win 9 and 10 games. You're gonna have to build it through recruiting.
But I also think that Dan Mullen, I mean that Mike Norvell genuinely believes in relationships and likes mm-hmm. talking to people, likes for people to listen to him talk. I think he really likes for people to listen to him talk. I think that he's all about that type of stuff. And so I think that pretends to good things, right? I think, yeah. like, I think somebody was asking me about the difference between him and Willie. And I told somebody that Willie is, an introvert, somebody that doesn't like to talk as much.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I mean, it's hard to explain, but some people.
I know exactly what you're saying. Mike comes in the room and he's going to command the room. He's good at being the center of attention. He's good at being the focal point. Like again, right. like when we were there with all the coaches and everybody, but when Mike walked in, it was Mike's show. You know what I mean? And part of that is because you're head coach of Florida State, but part of that is because Mike understands.
Yeah.
Mike, you know what I mean? That's what he like. He gonna walk in and he immediately is, you know, confident. Like one thing about I told you he's a close talker. He's very confident. He's gonna shake your hand, pull you in close, and have a, you know what I mean, and try to really engage in what you're saying versus, you know, everything else. Yeah. So one of the things that Mike is I know for 100% certainty. Mike is definitely more, I want to say confident, but it may not be. You know what I mean? But just it's more not, sure of himself. Just more sure of himself, I think, than
some people like the one-on-one conversation. I think Willie's more of a one-on-one guy. I think Mike is more of a crowd and get in front of people and likes the one-on-one things. And I think Jimbo was really good at both.
Very good.
You know, but Jimbo was a person that liked to talk ball. Like Jimbo liked it talking ball. So
right.
If you knew anything about football, and he remembered every damn thing too. So if you,
like, he remembered played, what play, played, yeah, he remembered what play you made, what quarter, the time, the down, and the distance.
I never forget. I was at one of his first little. I think it was 2011, maybe 12, and he had the football players there, all the former players there, and he was talking to them, and he spotted. God damn, what's my guy's name? Cass McCormick. Cass McCormick. Mm-hmm. He spotted Cass McCormick while he was talking. He like, it's Cass McCormick, right? And then he starts talking about this play that Cass McCormick made against Florida.
Mm-hmm. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
He's very much a computer like that. Yeah.
So people like, yo, that's wild. You know what I'm saying? Like, okay, he remembered like this exact play by Cass McCormick. You know what I'm saying? So, mm-hmm. So he really gets down into the weeds and that type of stuff and remembers every coach name that's ever coached. It's weird. So he's a computer like that. So that makes people feel special. So, you know, but I think overall, I just think Mike need a few tweaks to the recruiting roster as far as the coaches wise. He need to be able to keep Atkins, I think, for another 2 years, I would think. I think if you can keep
he did a good job by keeping him from
LSU.
LSU.
Yeah, but I thought that if LSU calls you, I think that was a good opportunity for Atkins, but I also think that LSU.
I think Atkins believes he likes what he's building. You know what I mean? In other words, if I am who I am, then Florida State is LSU. You know what I mean? If I can do what I think I can do, and I believe in what Mike's selling, and I believe in what we're doing here, then Florida State is LSU. You know what I mean? I told you. Right. I thought they're very similar schools. So in my opinion, I look at it and I say, man, this is just the same. That's a lateral move to me if I can get Florida State to where they need to be. So I think he looked at it and said, nah, I'm good where I'm at. I've already started building something here. I already got a lot of kids tied to my name. I got some big-time recruits that I'm pretty sure he believes he's getting, and I think he's going to get too. You know what I mean? So now he's looking at it and saying, nah, I ain't got to go to LSU. I can get Florida State to where they need to be. Florida State has won a championship recently as well. So I'm not going to throw out everything just because LSU came and called it. And right. So I actually respect Atkins for that. I do. I agree with you. I think you have no choice but to get rid of some of these, either add some pieces or start swapping out some coaches. Cause
I think behind the scenes, you're good.
Yep. I'm talking about, you got to figure out what's happening on your defense right now. I mean, because I don't think you have a recruiter outside of Woodson. I don't think you have a recruiter on your defensive side of the ball.
Well, they say John Papuchas is not bad. I just don't think he's elite, but I don't think he's bad.
Well, my question would be then, who is Pop brought in?
You didn't sign those two. We got two 4-star defensive ends last year, and I think he's going to get two.
Okay,
more
we did.
Year,
right. Okay. So then, yeah, you're right.
Peyton, right. So he
had had to recruit. You're right, and he got the the transfer from Georgia. You're right. I'm gonna leave Pap alone. You're right. Pap may be all right.
Pap did a really good job on special teams too.
An excellent job on special teams. I'm not even going. I'm never going to say nothing about special teams. He transformed special teams the way he's supposed to.
Right.
But I mean, I talked about Marv last week. We know about the furniture. Ain't did nothing in several years. I think you got to start making some tough decisions. I think at this point, and your defensive coordinator, we ain't even going to get on him. So right. Hold on, real quick. Somebody's Reggie had posted something, and somebody was like, "Man, y'all gonna regret all these tweets if Fuller's in his bag next year." And I found that to be wildly hilarious because I couldn't figure out what Fuller's bag was. Like, I sat here trying to and I really thought about it when he said it. I was like, "Fuller, if Fuller's in his bag," and I tried to figure out what is Fuller's bag? Like, what if? And then I was like, "Okay, take it out of Florida State. Let me think about Memphis." What is Fuller's bag? Like, what is Fuller known for? You know what I mean? I couldn't put my finger on it. Like, the fact that people and that somebody could type out them letters onto Twitter to say Fuller be in his bag, and I couldn't figure out for the life of me what his bag was, and neither could the person after saying it.
Yeah.
He was like, "No, I'm just saying next year." I mean, what bag? What bag are we talking about? Because I'm telling you, I've never seen a Fuller bag where I'm like, "Oh man, boy, he was calling it up. He was dialing it up that day."
Yeah,
it didn't happen. Like, I look.
He had a few moments in the North Carolina game where I thought he did some pretty good stuff in, but hey,
that's a small bag.
It is a small bag. But let's get to what position do you think Travis Hunter plays in college?
Man, I honestly don't know, man. Well, I ain't even gonna tell you. I want him to play wide receiver.
Okay.
The kid is silly special, man. Like, so he had three. Cam Newton 7-on-7 yesterday. He had 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions. Right. Which seems like every single week he lines up for another 7-on-7, he ends up with 3 touchdowns and 2 interceptions.
Right.
One of which is floating around the internet, floating around social media right now. I want him to play wide receiver. I think his ability to high point the football, change direction, is deadly.
Yeah.
And so I think you put him with, AJ Duffy, and I think you can really have a special offense. Like, special offense. Mm. But it's hard, man, to say you're going to have a – but it's hard to tell me you're going to get Jalen Ramsey again. On defense, you know what I mean? Because that's what they're getting. Because that's what's wild about about Travis Hunter. Not only are you getting that, you get Jalen Ramsey on defense as well. I want him to play wide receiver, but it's hard not to. And I don't think playing both is an option. I know I heard a lot of people say he's going to play both, and I don't think both is an option.
I got to see him become a Jalen Ramsey. I mean, that's –
are you watching these? I mean, I know they're seven on sevens.
No, I know. I'm
every
saying,
week, this dude is either baiting a quarterback, making a crazy interception. I have not seen him hit. I have not seen him hit nobody, and that was the thing that made Jalen Ramsey special. Jalen Ramsey was physical, but the dude appears to be a dog.
Yeah.
And if you tell me you giving me a dog, that means he probably gonna hit like that too.
Yeah.
So I'm saying he has all the measurables of Jalen Ramsey. You're right. It's hard to put anybody in that category because Jalen Ramsey stepped on campus day one and everybody knew he was a first rounder. And what I'm saying is I think Travis Hunter going to step on campus day one and everybody going to know he's a first rounder at DB. I don't know. I have never been happy about a recruit since Jameis Winston. I ain't never been excited about a recruit since Jameis Winston. And I'm telling you, every weekend I'd be like, please, please stay in the fold. Please don't go nowhere. Nobody say nothing to him. Don't no fans tweet him nothing wrong. Let this man come, like whoever his friends are, like I don't care if you gotta give 1 stars or whatever. Kid ain't never played football before. You gotta toss him a scholarship because he asked for it. His daddy want a church, his mama want a Bentley. Get whatever you gotta do. Keep this cat in your class because he is by far the best player on offense and on defense. It's not even close. Like, He looks bigger, stronger, faster than everybody he goes up against every single week.
So I'm going to say this. I think what he becomes is a gadget guy on offense.
Mm-hmm.
His first year, I think his first year, maybe first 2 years, he becomes a gadget guy on offense till you get more playmakers on offense, right?
Right.
So I think you look at him at like 15 plays on offense, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is what I think. I think he's 15 plays on offense. I think ultimately he is a defensive back. I think the smart decision is for him to play cornerback, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you can play longer in the league at cornerback.
Yeah, I think he wants to play cornerback.
And you can play early in college at cornerback, right? Mm-hmm. Wide receiver is going to take a lot longer to learn how to play wide receiver on that level, right? So I think mm-hmm. he's a gadget guy wide receiver in college the first 2 years of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have any explosive athletes yet, especially if Destin Hill don't end up here. So I think that's what happens. And I think he becomes a defensive back. Now, I think the problem is, does he become a day one start at defensive back? Because I think 100%. Brownlee would be a red shirt junior. But when I look at the other side of Brownlee, does Kevin Knowles hold him up from playing defensive back? I don't think so. But
nobody holds Travis. First of all, nobody is holding Travis Hunter from playing defensive back. There's not a play. As much as I respect and I like the guys we got at DB, none of those guys keeping their position. And they got to know that.
So I think he ends up playing cornerback. And I think he splits rep between Knowles. And I don't really see anybody else over there. So it's probably just Knowles is the press. But then you got the other guy, Sam, that's pretty damn good too. Athlete, because somebody Travis Hunter playing free safety, but I looked at it, I was like, I don't think he's a free safety.
He's not a free safety.
Yeah, I don't think he's a free safety.
No, he's a cover corner. Put him on again. You put him on your best receiver, and you tell him lock him down.
But like, the best thing about him, though, when you really look at it, though, he'll come to a defensive backfield when he gets here next year. That's gonna be pretty veteran laden because Travis J will be in his third year.
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't care.
Brownlee be his third.
It's gonna be some hurt feelings. Like
saying he's not gonna play. I'm saying he's gonna come to a situation where he may not have to be dependent on. Like
No. I don't think he has to be dependent on at all. I think I agree with you. I think the position they recruited the best is DB.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying he's better than them.
Right.
When he steps on campus, he's going to be better than them. And they are veterans and they have earned a starting spot. But at the end of the day, this dude is going to be better than them. And he's better than them now. And so I look at it and I say, somebody's going to probably be out. Somebody's going to either get their feelings hurt or they're going to transfer. Because there's no way possible I don't think there's any way possible he don't see the field. I think you put him on whoever, like day one, I think you throw him on whoever the best receiver is on the other team and tell him, all right, shut that down. And I think he does it. And I think he does it from the moment he steps on. I mean, you look at his size. Just look at him, that at his body compared to the other guys he's going up against. It looks unfair. You know what I mean? It's very rare when other kids are like, yo, this kid's a cheat code. This dude's a cheat code. Like, but I'm watching other recruits. You know what I mean? Tweet that about him. It's not even just like the player. Like, what's his name? Bud Elliott was, I guess, there yesterday. And he was just live tweeting plays. Just like, yo, this kid is unbelievable. This kid is amazing. Like, I ain't never seen nothing. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the stuff that we're getting, that we're seeing every week, I don't think we've seen it before. Like, when Jameis was around, were they that many 707s? I don't know. I've never really been a follower recruiting like that. But I don't remember seeing these highlights every single week. You know, with James, we knew James was tough. The funny thing is the video I remember the most about James was they had some some sort of camp or whatever, right? Where they had to do like the NFL, where you had like the moving dummies and you had to hit, you know what I mean? You had to hit them to get points or whatever. Yeah. Like they had that with all the other big time quarterbacks who was coming out, and James went last and hit every target. Then like did like the hammer dance and threw it like 100 yards or some crazy stuff like that. Just like literally was just joking around the whole time, but hit every single target and won it easily. Yeah. And that was the thing I remember. I was like, "Ooh, this kid gonna be special." If you tell me he gonna be if you tell me that this kid is gonna, you know, is getting highlights every single week, and that's what I'm looking at Travis. I'm saying this kid is giving me highlights every single week. And it's a new highlight. It's one-handed catches. It's somebody else he done locked down. I agree with you on the gadgets. I don't think you can play both positions 100%. I just think you become, you know, it's just too tiring. Yeah. But even at top physical shape, it's too much.
And maybe he plays punt returner, right? You put him at punt returner, kick returner, something like that.
Yeah, do you want to get him? I mean, I don't think you risk him on punt return. I think I feel a little better about him on kick return than I want on punt.
As much as you value special teams here, you need to put your best players on special teams.
Yeah, like, that was always Urban Meyer thing. Yeah.
That's always, but I mean, it's a big special teams. You could be good, really good on defense and special teams and actually win
football. And win games. Yeah. No, so, you're right. Listen, I think if he's your best athlete, which I think he will be, I agree with you. Put him wherever. Like let him be Percy Harvin, man.
I like him in that defensive backfield if those guys develop. If Travis J develops, is a really good free safety.
It may be tough for anybody.
If Brandon Gant develops, like I think he can at strong safety, if mm-hmm. Kevin Knowles can develop, and mm-hmm. What's the other guy's name? Sorry about that. I don't even mean to, I feel like I'm being disrespectful talking about a dude like that. Jarvis Brownlee can develop. Mm-hmm. Like I think he could develop. And then you still got Damari Tate. If he can get healthy and develop, I mean, you got pieces there. That's why I keep trying to tell people what they keep talking about. You know, we got it's some positions on this roster that needed overhauling. The defensive mm-hmm. back position was not one of those positions. That's why it made no sense for people to be running wide ass open like they did last year. So, you know, they got a lot to figure out.
Man, they regret the defensive back group. The defense regressed as a whole, but the defensive back especially regressed, because I agree with you. I think they got 4 and 5 stars all over the backfield.
There's pieces there that you just need to coach up better. So let's get into my next topic, man.
All right, come on.
All right, so I'm going to start doing these topics. Actually, this is going to be a separate thing I'm going to put on YouTube, but I mean, it'll be in the show. But I got a big what if. Like, what if this thing happened instead of that thing happened, right? So my big what if is in 1998, so Florida State played who? Florida 97, Tennessee 98, and Virginia Tech 99, right?
Yep.
Yeah, all right. So my big thing is, let's say Chris Winkie doesn't get hurt. He doesn't hurt mm-hmm. his neck. We beat Tennessee, right, for national championship. Easily, right? Beat Tennessee. And Peter Ward decides to come out and go to the draft, right?
Right.
So Peter Ward decided to go out to the draft. Does he get drafted over Torrey Holt, which I think he would have, right? I think he would have got drafted over Torrey Holt. And if he gets drafted over Torrey Holt, does Peter Ward become a Hall of Fame receiver?
So,
hold on. Before you go. Torrey Holt was a damn good wide receiver in college.
That's what I was going to say. I don't know if he gets drafted over Torrey Holt. I think that's where it gets that's the piece that is going to be difficult for me to kind of.
He had 5 touchdowns against Florida State.
Oh no, I remember that game. Yeah. I remember that game like it was yesterday. I was like, I didn't know this cat before coming into the season, right. but at the end of that game, I was like, okay, so we ain't got nobody who can guard him. Got it. Okay, like,
Thorhold was faster than Peter Ward. Peter Ward was not straight line fast.
Ooh, Peter Ward was straight line fast, but Peter Ward was straight line fast. I watched them highlights again. You realize he was straight line fast. He just also was shifty. Nah, bro. He was one of the most shifty players I've ever seen in my life.
He wasn't that straight line fast guy. Like Peter Ward was like, and that's why you'll see guys catch up.
He wasn't straight line fast like Torrey Holt.
I'm saying like he ran like a 4.6 at the combine. Peter Ward did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That like usually you want your receivers around like 4.5.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably.
But he was
4.5. 4.6 is a kind
of because you touch him, but you couldn't touch him in open field, and it didn't matter.
Right,
that was the thing that made up for it.
Right,
if it was one on one, whoever was on defense was gonna lose.
First of all, this is not a Peter Ward bashing session. Okay.
Okay.
Not bashing Peter Ward.
Listen, you already know my favorite player. I get defensive with Peter Ward. Peter Ward was my all time favorite Seminole. Period.
But my question is, do the St. Louis Rams take Peter Ward instead of Torrey Holt with the number 6, because it was the number 6 pick, and it'd have been out of Peter Ward and Torrey Holt?
I say if they do, right? Because we're doing what else? If they do, you put Peter in that offense, and I think it's simple. He does the same thing.
That's one of the first spread offenses.
Right. You put him in that system, and it's over with. He it's college. It's college all over again. It looked like what he was doing. It'll look very similar to what he does in college. And I think you just flip-flop Torres. But see, here's the thing. The difference is Peter Ward had to go to a perfect situation to be successful. Right. I think Torrey Holt was going to be successful regardless. Right. Torrey Holt was successful, was more successful because he was in that offense.
Right.
But I think you would have put him anywhere on anybody's team, and Torrey was going to ball out because Torrey was different. But I think you put Peter Ward specifically in that St. Louis Rams, oh, man, it's over with, in my opinion.
I mean, because if you think about it, the St. Louis Rams had Marshall Faulk.
Mm-hmm.
They had Isaac Bruce.
Mm-hmm.
That wide receiver Azeer Hakeem. So Peter Ward actually wouldn't have, and they had Ricky Poole too. Ricky Poole was a pretty good wide receiver also.
He wouldn't have been one.
I think the fact that he went to Cincinnati, he had to be a number one, and they played a strictly pro style two wide receiver running the football downhill type situation.
It wasn't his game. Yeah.
It wasn't his game. But if you'd have played him with the St. Louis Rams, I think Peter Ward actually becomes, I don't know if he becomes a Hall of Famer, but I think he have a damn good 10-year career.
Yeah, I was going to say he has a much longer career as a number two or three option for somebody, because he would have gave you a whole lot on punt return too. See, the reason why they couldn't use Peter Ward on special teams because he was your number one wide receiver. Right. And I thought where Peter Ward would have been even more, would have been super special is on special teams. I don't think they had Peter play special teams until maybe third or fourth year when he wasn't really working out as a number one wide receiver on offense. Then it was like, all right, well, let's try, you know what I mean? Let's utilize some of his talents.
Right.
But my thing was, I think if you had drafted Peter Ward in St. Louis, like you say, he wouldn't have been a number one. He would have been like two or three.
Right.
And so a two or three receiver, you can absolutely put at punt return from day one. Right. Now you already getting dividends. He would have played, he'd have played 10 years just as a special team alone, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
So now I think you put him in at special teams. He also catches everything. He makes some plays on offense. And I look at it and I say, that man has a career very similar to, I mean, he don't have cheetah speed, but I think it's very similar. You know what I mean? When you tell him you can, because with all those weapons in Kansas City, when you add that
St. Louis.
No. I'm talking about Kansas City. I'm talking about Cheetah. I'm saying it's a similar situation.
Okay.
I think he would have been the prototype, I think, for what the Cheetah is doing now. You know what I'm saying? Like, in other words, you got Kelsey over there, you have a decent running game. You look at everything, you say, all right, now I got this as basically a luxury speed guy.
Right.
Luxury speed playmaker who I can get the ball to in space and he can make something happen with it. And I think that's the role Peter Ward would have played in St. Louis.
Right. I think Peter Ward ends up close to the Hall of Fame. I think he has a good 10-year career, and I think we look at his NFL career differently. Because if you think about it, he was starting to get better when Chad Johnson got to Cincinnati. Remember?
Well, that's the thing I never understand, right? Because I agree with you. He started to get really, really good when he became the number two option, right? Him and Peter and Chad did a really good, had a really good 1-2 combination. And then he got hurt. And they gave up on him. And I was like, I don't understand. Like, and I don't think he ever found a system that fit him. Like, he never, like, man, I always say NFL is very tricky. Because you look at Leonard Fournette in Jacksonville. He wasn't good in Jacksonville at all. But I didn't think he was a bad running back. I thought he was a bad running back. But it looks like it was more Jacksonville than it was Leonard. Because we saw Leonard go with Tom Brady.
But he was a top 10 back the year they went to the playoffs, though.
He always got ran down by linebackers, and I never understood.
He wasn't fast, but I'm saying he was a top 10.
NFL running back shouldn't get run down by linebackers, though.
Linebackers are pretty damn fast in NFL nowadays, bro. You see what Devin White can – you see how athletic Devin White is, bro?
You're talking about one of the rare linebackers. I'm saying most running backs
– Miles Jack?
Most running backs do not get run down by linebackers, not even Miles Jack and Devin White.
All the Pittsburgh linebackers.
All right. I'm not going on this Leonard Fournette.
There's Butler from the Colts.
Listen, all the linebackers are fast. It's the NFL. They all fast. What I'm saying is running backs do not get run down by linebackers. They just don't. It's very look at how many times you've seen what's the boy from Panthers get run down by a linebacker?
Christian McCaffrey
don't get run down by linebackers.
Christian McCaffrey is fast, though.
My point exactly.
He's fast. Yes. Anyway, I ain't gonna get into all that.
Leonard was a good pack.
He should have been drafted that high. If you draft Leonard at the back end of the first round, it's a good pick. Well, you draft
it still would have been a good pick. I just think it was a bad fit. Like, I think that's what I'm saying. What I was saying, like, I was translating it to Peter Ward. Man, there are certain teams I don't think fully understand their fit sometimes. Okay, we need a running back. Jacksonville, we need a running back, so therefore we're gonna draft Leonard Fournette because we need one. Right. And so then we grabbed because he was technically the best back, but not really understanding he don't fit what we're trying to do here, which is why you swap out Leonard Fournette for Robinson.
Robinson. Oh, yeah.
Robinson. Robinson running back right for Jaguars, right?
Yeah.
And his name Robinson. Yeah. Robinson wasn't highly, but he fits better. And they realized in the camp, we're going to get rid of Leonard Fournette. And everybody's like, I don't understand why. And matter of fact, I'm going to get T-Wick credit. T-Wick called me. He said, ain't got nothing to do with Leonard not being good. He said, Robinson fits. He fits the scheme, what they're trying to do, better than what Fournette did. And you look at it, and it was 100% fact. 100% fact. He absolutely fit what they was doing better than what Leonard was doing. But Leonard then leaves, goes to Tampa Bay, gives him a championship, and plays great because he fit what Tampa Bay was doing better than what, you know what I mean? So it's just, I think you look at these situations, and I think NFL GMs have a lot more.
They've gotten better with this, though. NFL
GMs. They have gotten better. They've gotten better.
Back then, I don't even know, bro, back then, I don't know how they even select the player. Because if you look at some of the busts back then, you'd be like, well, why did you even draft? Like,
why did you draft him? Like, yeah, why did you draft him?
Carter that went to Cincinnati, it made no sense. Like, you look at him run, it's like, what made them think that shit was going to translate to the NFL? Like, it's just a bunch of guys. Like, even quarterbacks. You watch certain quarterbacks, you'd be like, well, how did you think that quarterback? Like, Akili Smith. I like Akili Smith, but if you look at Akili Smith in college, and then you look at him translating to the NFL and what they were trying to do in the NFL. Like,
I thought
it was going to work. Like, it made no sense back then, dude.
I don't think the recruiting departments was as, like, the scouting departments in the NFL was as, I don't want to say advanced as they are now. You know what I'm saying? Like, they've always had scouting departments. I just think they was as important. I think
now these scouting departments understand drafting players to a scheme instead of drafting players that's good, lift weights, and are fast, right? Because I think the ideal is I get a fast, strong guy, I can teach him. Mm-hmm. Now they get a strong, fast guy, but they get a guy that fits the system. Like, they're like, okay, what fits the system? And I think, actually, to be honest with you, I think that's what kind of got Caldwell in trouble. Mm-hmm. He was drafting good guys, but some of those guys didn't fit the system. Right.
And I think that's why every GM who messes up, I think if you've gotten to the place where you can get drafted in the NFL, you're a good football player.
Right.
Because the percentage is so small. Right.
Right.
But I do think you get to these teams and you just don't fit what they trying to do versus what you were trying. You know what I mean? What your skill set is. Like, What's our defense in? The pass rusher got drafted by the Denver Broncos. From Jacksonville. So Walker, I don't think fit what they were trying to do in Denver. I get it, right? You wanted somebody to spell Von Miller, but him and Von Miller aren't the same style of player.
Right, but he doesn't play that position though. Like, he's been having a good career at Denver, but Denver's asking him to be a part of a turbo defensive end package that he comes in. And I mean, and he does what I think DeMarcus Walker gets like 4 or 5 sacks a season.
Right. But I think in a different scheme, you put him in a different team. And I think he's not a scheme player. You could put him in, he can be a legit starter. You know what I'm saying? For somebody. That's just my opinion. I just think I look at teams and I say, I don't necessarily understand what they're trying to do or what they're doing. I mean, again, like you said, they've gotten a whole lot better at it. They've gotten a whole lot better at figuring out how players fit into what they're doing and even molding what they're doing to the players, depending on how good you are.
Right.
But, getting back to Peter, I don't think Peter ever should have been drafted as a number one wide receiver. That just wasn't him.
Well.
Not in the NFL. Not the way they were playing back then. Like I said, it wasn't today. Oh man, you throw Peter in anybody's offense today, you'd have been, you know.
Right.
Yeah, I know he got a 10 years later, I'd have been, you know what I mean? Not everybody playing college offense. Right, yeah, no, right. today. But back then, it was, you know, running back, two tight ends, and, you know, two wide receivers.
But he would have basically went to the first spread offense at the St. Louis Rams.
And that's what would have been so dope about it.
I think he would have made – I think he would have I would say that I think he would have been close to a Hall of Famer. I think he'd have been the argument for a Hall of Famer. And I do still think Torrey Holt has a Hall of Fame career. But I think the bigger what if is, does FSU win a national championship in 99? Because I think they win it in 98, but they don't win it. Do they win it in 99? Because do all the defensive players come out the draft in? Do Corey Simon come out? Does Derek Gibson come out and go to the draft if Peter Ward leaves?
Here's the thing, though.
Because then you probably don't beat Michael Vick and Virginia Tech. You probably don't beat Miami.
Peter Ward had what, 3 touchdowns in that game?
Yeah,
one punt return. Yeah. We had a punt return and 2 passing touchdowns. And one of them was just a ridiculously sick pass of the field, all sorts of stuff. I don't know if you win it. I don't know if you win it to get, because Vic was by himself just showing out. You know what I mean?
I think Vic wills that team even know we make it to the national championship though, because I think Miami was on the rise at that time.
You remember, might be right.
Remember 99, Miami? I mean, hold on. Let me check this real quick. Because I want to say it was 90. It might have been the 99. Might have been the 2000 season that Miami's on the rise.
I can't say they you don't probably, make it to the championship.
Do you beat Florida?
I don't know, man. Peter Warwick was such a difference maker, man.
He really was.
That's CNC. He was easily the Heisman Trophy favorite, and he couldn't get it because of some, you know, controversy stuff. He was by far the best player in college football. It wasn't even close. And I'm looking at I'm saying, I don't know how you can remove the best player off of college football and tell me you're going to beat Florida or beat Michael Vick. You know what I mean?
You think about it, dude. You played the Yellow Jackets. They was number 10 team in the country with Joe Hamilton.
Yeah, right. It had a tough. It would have been tough. He was making all them teams look stupid.
And the Hurricanes, you beat the Hurricanes by 10 points. You beat them 31-21.
Yeah, no, you probably don't. Because I guarantee he accounted for 2 touchdowns in that game.
17-14.
You beat Florida
30-23.
The margins were too close.
The margins were kind of close. Right?
You don't win a championship.
Well, that team also was kind of bored, too, because they would get up on teams early and kind of like relax, and then teams would come back on them. Like that happened a lot that year.
They would
get bored. I mean, it was really dominant. So, but I wonder, I don't think the offense, I think the offense would have been fine, right? Because I think you'd have got Chris Winkie back. I think Snoop would have stepped up. You had really good receivers already. But I think the problem would have been if Peter Ward leaves, does Corey Simon leave? Does some of them linebackers leave? Brian Allen and Polly. Like, does some of those guys not come back? Derek Gibson, does he come back? Because if they leave, then, yeah, you might be in some trouble there.
Yeah, see, and that's the thing, right? I don't know.
That's a big what if, though. That's
it is, because see, what I'm thinking about is, do they? As much as I respect Snoop, I don't know if Snoop was enough to. I know you say he would have stepped up because he would have had to. I don't know if Snoop would have been able to fill those shoes, man. Those are big shoes to fill.
Remember they had another punt returner for Florida State. My boy, what's his name? Reggie Jackson, I think his name was.
Peter.
Peter Ward's different though.
Like I'm telling you, and this is me fanning out, but I'm gonna tell you, I could look at Peter and see how he swaggered to the punt return and be like, oh, he's taking this into the house. He's gonna take this into the house. Like you would look at him and see how he was going to, you know what I mean, how he would swagger on and be like, oh no, he's gonna take this one. And sure enough, he'd get out there and he'd take it. Like he played with guys a lot. Like it wasn't every time you knew he was going to take it. But I'm telling you, sometimes you could look back there and you knew, all right, we need a play. And he knew we needed a play. Mm-hmm. Offense don't kind of, you know what I mean, struggled a little bit or whatever. We ain't scoring a few possessions. And right. He just kind of swagger on back there. And you'd be like, oh, he finna take this into the house. And he would. Like, I don't think you replace that. I think he's the difference between the championship and not. And what's crazy is I think Hunter might be close to that. Like, when it comes to
– all right.
Okay. The impact. Okay. I'm telling you, I don't get hyped about recruits. I like Hunter a lot. I mean, listen, he's not Peter Ward. He ain't that type of player, but I think that was once in a lifetime.
He just got out of control sometimes.
But what I will say is I think he's the difference between – I'm not going to say championship or not because I don't think Florida State as a whole has a championship level. We talking about different elements. But I do think he's the difference between wins and losses. I think he will make a difference when it comes to wins and losses.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he does. I think he definitely has that type of impact.
Yeah, like in other words, I'll add two more wins to whatever season, you know what I mean? Whatever I thought they were gonna win next season, I add two wins to it because he's on the team.
All right. I mean,
yeah, that's what I mean, impact. I'm not saying he's a difference in championship versus not. Yeah. We ain't that level. I ain't talking about that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, but yeah, no, I think he definitely is a difference maker having him on your team versus not.
All right. Well, that's my big what if. If Peter Ward would have, if Chris Winger doesn't get hurt, they win a national championship in 98. Does Peter Ward come out? Does he go to the Rams? Does he have a Hall of Fame career? I think.
Share your thoughts. Definitely share your thoughts.
Let me know what y'all think about that.
When we post it to the we're gonna post it to the timeline, man. We definitely wanna hear your thoughts on that one, man. Cause I think it's a huge what if, man. Peter, if you're listening, man, you welcome on the show anytime, man. I wanna know your thoughts on this. You know what I mean?
Even know we'll be able to keep you under control. Like you
ain't gonna lie. You're right. Cause I got a whole bunch of questions, I got a whole bunch of stories. It's funny, man. I was a wide receiver in high school. I modeled my entire game after Peter. Like, I broke my ankles. I broke my own ankles several times. But I tried to do a lot of the moves. I just didn't have it.
That's cool.
Hey, man. Listen, we appreciate y'all listening, man. Rate, review, subscribe. We, as always, man, we appreciate it. Hit that like button. Apple, iTunes, Spotify, whatever it is. Y'all are. You done, man. Yeah.